So we've almost reached the halfway point in Luke's gospel. And Luke's focus now is on mission, the mission of the church. And in the section we read in chapter 10, we find Jesus sending 70, or in some versions it says 72, of his followers into all the surrounding towns and villages to put into practice all that they had seen and learned from being with Jesus. Jesus didn't just preach, teach, and heal by himself. He took the disciples with him so they could learn what mission is all about. But they would not go alone, because Jesus would give them his own power and authority. And that's the continuing pattern for the church today. We are commissioned by Jesus and sent into the world with a life-changing message. And we go with the authority of Jesus and in the power of his Holy Spirit. We thought earlier about what the church's message is. Jesus says, verse 9, whenever you enter a town and the people welcome you, give them this message. Tell them the kingdom of God has come near you. Mission is centered around Jesus. To say the kingdom of God is near is to say Jesus is near. The kingdom has arrived in the person of Jesus. I came across an article the other day by a scientist whose name is Justin Barrett. His title is Senior Researcher for Anthropology and Mind. He says that scientific evidence shows that even young children have a predisposition to believe in God, even when they've not been taught. So it's not simply acquired by indoctrination. So the knowledge that God exists seems to be built into human understanding from the start, which means that when we begin to share our faith with someone, we're not speaking about something that's alien to them. They're already disposed to believe in God, or at least to acknowledge the existence of a being greater than themselves. No, the problem's not the difficulty of believing God exists. That knowledge is already deep in our human consciousness. The difficulty many people have is believing that they would be acceptable to God. So many feel unworthy. They hear the message, but can't believe it's for them. The continuing, unwavering message of the church is that God's love is for everyone. There are no exceptions. No one is beyond the scope of God's love, and no one is excluded from the forgiveness that Jesus offers. That's the message many, many people need to hear. In one of the churches where I served as minister, we invited a group of ex-prisoners who were singers and musicians to come and give a concert. They wore sweatshirts that said the evidence. That's because they'd all come to faith in Christ while serving a prison sentence through the ministry of the prison chaplains. And they travelled around churches wherever they were invited to sing and to give their testimony. We do need to hold prison chaplains in our prayers, as well as those coming to faith through their ministry. We need to pray for protection and enabling for chaplains as they go regularly into the prison environment. Not an easy place to be. And as they share God's love and bring hope to those who feel their lives are worthless. Well, these ex-prisoners who visited our church, they testified to the fact that their lives had taken a wrong turn, but they'd paid their debt to society by serving a prison term. Their testimony was that they were now free, free to return to society, but far greater than physical freedom was the freedom they now knew in Christ. They spoke of the joy, of the peace that they'd never known before, of the burden of guilt they'd borne for so long had been lifted for the first time. They now had a new start and a new life in Christ. But you know, it isn't only people whose lives have taken a wrong turn who need to hear the message of God's love. It's also people we meet in our daily lives. Ordinary, law-abiding, good people trying to do their best, but who may never have given more than a passing thought to faith, never experienced God's love, never known the power of the presence of Christ. Of course, it may be that they've considered the Christian faith and decided it's not what they want. But equally, it may be because they've just never heard a clear message that God loves them, that Jesus is alive, that he's knowable, that he longs to meet with them, and they're missing out on so much that could be theirs. The Christian message is not just that God loves deeply, unconditionally, and eternally, which of course he does, but that God is love. Love is God's nature. It's his very being. And Jesus is the ultimate gift of love given by a heavenly Father. John's Gospel says of Jesus, he is before all things. All things were created by him and for him. And yet he became an earthling and died a criminal's death on a cross for our sakes. Jesus has returned to heaven wearing his battle-scarred, glorified body as an eternal witness that absolutely nothing is too hard for him. He's sent his Holy Spirit to empower, guide, and strengthen his church, so nothing will be too hard for us. Part of my ministry is to take funerals, which is always a privilege. And often the bereaved relatives are not churchgoers. And I'm sometimes asked the question, what happens after death? As Christians, our confident belief is that this earthly life is not all there is, that we're too significant for everything to end at death. The whole of the Bible proclaims that God is relational, that we're created to live in a permanent relationship with God through Jesus Christ. And at the end of our time here on earth, we can go to be with him in a place of endless peace and perfect well-being. In John 14, when the disciples ask Jesus where he's going, Jesus says to them, I go to prepare a place for you, and I will come back and take you to myself, so where I am, you may be also. Church, this is the life-changing message that you and I are entrusted with. And surely our motivation for sharing our faith with others is that we want everyone to experience the joy and assurance and completeness that a life lived in relationship with Jesus brings. We want everyone to have assurance about the future instead of living with uncertainty, especially those we know who may be going through life unaware that Jesus is longing for them to come to know him and to fill them with his resurrection life. We're going to pause there and worship again in song, and then we'll listen to our second reading, which is in Acts 2. It's a reading that gives us a glimpse of life in the early church immediately following Pentecost. But first, let's worship. 234 in Mission Praise. His name is wonderful. We'll stand if we can to sing. Our second reading is from Acts 2, starting at verse 43. And this is talking about the believers, the early church, immediately following Pentecost. Awe came upon everyone, because many wonders and signs were being done by the apostles. All who believed were together and had all things in common. They would sell their possessions and goods and distribute the proceeds to all as any had need. Day by day, as they spent much time together in the temple, they broke bread at home and ate their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having the goodwill of all people. And day by day, the Lord added to their number those who were being saved. Amen. So we've thought about what our message is as a church. And the messenger is, of course, the church. And not just those who have a particular gift for evangelism, but you and me, all of us. It's our love for Jesus and his love working through us that will draw people to Christ far more than anything we say. If love is lacking, if our love for Jesus is not evident, our words will lack conviction. Without love, we have nothing to share. But through our love for Jesus, we're changed, and it shows. It shows in the ways that we relate to others. It shows in how we deal with crises and tragedies in our own lives. It shows in our family life and in all of our relationships. The closer we get to Jesus, the softer our attitudes become. We're more patient, more forgiving, more compassionate. People will probably not read the Bible or our Christian books, but they will read us. And when we allow people to get up close and allow them to see who we really are, of course they will see we're far from perfect. But they will also see the difference that Jesus makes in a person's life. In the 1980s, we moved as a family to West Wales. At that time, the Welsh Revival was still in living memory. It began in 1904 during a prayer meeting in a small chapel in a Welsh mining village. And it lasted several years, a lot longer than revivals normally last. And we heard of its ongoing effects. We heard about the ending of family feuds, how people who had sworn never to speak to each other again were reconciled. Fractured relationships were healed, divided families reunited, prejudices overcome. We heard story after story of the power of God's reconciling love, of how the chapels and churches were full, and how supportive, caring community was built. And we get a glimpse of that kind of community in that reading from Acts 2. Acts was written by Luke, the gospel writer. And we read in those few verses that right from the start, the early church was characterized by an atmosphere of warmth, mutual support, and care for one another. There was a sense of belonging to a close-knit family. They loved to be in each other's company. The deep level of fellowship they shared had never been seen before. And it was so attractive. People wanted to be part of it. And the church began to grow. Verse 47 says, the Lord added to their number daily. And the reason was that they knew God was among them. Warm, caring, accepting community It's one of the great assets of the Christian church. A local church that's characterized by loving and forgiving relationships, where the name of Jesus is honored, and where the Holy Spirit is allowed to move. It's a church that's deeply attractive. It has drawing power. That kind of community can't be found anywhere else, because it's created and sustained by the Holy Spirit, and it's the strongest bond there is. So when we speak about faith and share our own experience with someone, hopefully we will at some point invite them to come along to church with us. You may be surprised to hear that, according to a recent survey, most people say that if they were invited to church by someone they knew and trusted, they would accept the invitation. And the problem is, they've never been invited. That's food for thought, isn't it? If and when they do come along to church with us at our invitation, the thing that will keep them coming back more than anything else that happens in church is the acceptance, the sense of belonging that they find here. And the undeniable sense, even if they wouldn't put it into words, that God is with his church. They may not be believers, but more often than not, belonging comes before believing. That was my experience as a teenager. Having been invited to church by a friend, I found such love and unconditional acceptance in that congregation, something I'd never known before. It drew me back again and again, and eventually brought me to faith. In verse 2 of our reading in Luke 10, Jesus says, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Therefore ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest field." And verse 9, "Whenever you witness to people, give them this message. Tell them the kingdom of God has come near you." The church, as we said at the start of the service, it's not an organization, it's an organism, which means it's meant to grow. It's intended to grow. And right from the start, mission was at the heart of the early church. And church, through 2,000 years of Christian history, that hasn't changed. Our mission is still to go and make Jesus known. We go in the name of Jesus, in the power of the Holy Spirit, and in the confidence that we don't go alone. The Spirit goes with us, empowering and guiding. He goes ahead of us and prepares hearts to receive the message. Paul writes to the church at Ephesus, "To him who by the power at work within us is able to accomplish far more than we could ever ask or imagine, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations. Amen." Amen. We're going to worship again. It's number 249 in Mission Praise. It says, "How lovely on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news." Let's stand to worship, shall we? So we come now to bring our prayers for the world and for the church. So let's pray. Lord God, as we think of the situation in the Middle East, our prayer is that there will be no further escalation of conflict. And as we see on our television screens the terrible suffering that's continuing in Gaza, Lord, we pray for a just resolution and for peace. Lord, we don't know how that can be achieved. But what we do know is that you hold the nations in your hands. So may there be an end to the killing and the suffering, that all might live in safety. We bring before you those still held hostage by Hamas, and we pray for their safety and their swift release. We think at this time also of Ukraine. And again, Lord, our prayer is for a just resolution to the conflict. We bring before you all who live under oppressive regimes and all who suffer daily with the constant threat of violence or racial hatred. And Lord, we ask that you would intervene. And Lord, as we think of our own nation, we pray for the families of the two students and the school caretaker killed in that knife attack in Nottingham. Lord, be with their families. Grant them comfort and strength. We pray for all victims of knife crime and their families, and pray, Lord, for wisdom and sufficient resources for the police to deal effectively with increasing violence on our city streets. We bring before you all who serve within the prison system, as our prisons become more and more overcrowded. And especially, we lift before you prison chaplains. Lord, put your safety around them as they go in your name to share your love and to bring comfort and hope to many. And we pray, Lord, for our church community here, especially at this time as we seek to call a new minister. And we give you thanks for all the ways you've blessed and empowered this church, for the gifts of grace you so generously give, and for the joy of loving fellowship that we share. Help us to build on all that's been accomplished in the past and to grasp the opportunities that you hold out for the future. May we be people of vision by your grace, looking with faith-filled expectation to all that we shall become by your grace. Lord, your promise is that you will build your church, and you call us to serve in your name and in the power of your Spirit. Give us the grace and the courage to answer your call, to share our faith naturally and lovingly with those who don't yet know you, that they also may share in this glorious kingdom life. So we bring before you now those we know who are in need, especially those recently bereaved. May they know the warmth and the comfort of your sustaining presence. We pray especially for Joyce and the whole family. We pray for all who are suffering in any way and ask, Lord, that you would reach out your hand of healing. For the confused, the depressed, all who are lonely, the despairing and the disillusioned, and all for whom the future seems bleak and the present unbearable. Lord, draw near. Minister your love and healing grace into every life. We thank you for your assurance that you are with us through all the changes and chances of this life, and that nothing on earth can ever separate us from your love in Christ Jesus our Lord. We pray all this in his precious name. Amen. So we shall shortly be sharing communion together and remembering that Jesus died willingly and knowingly for our sakes. And because this is a communion service, we're going to pray a prayer of confession, which will be on the screen now. But let's just take a moment to think about those words, and then we should pray the prayer together. So just a moment's stillness. So we pray together. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed, and in what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbours as ourselves. We are truly sorry. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, please forgive us and help us live more faithfully for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, we've thought this morning about God's all-encompassing love for us. And we have an opportunity as we sing this next song to offer our love back to God. This song will lead us into communion. So when we come to the end of the song, can the service come forward, please? So this is a song not about God, but to God. Father, we love you, we worship and adore you. Let's remain seated to sing. We glorify your name in all the earth. We're going to have a Thanksgiving prayer on the screen now. So let's pray this together. So, Lord, accept the thanks and praise of your people in this meal of remembrance, in which you have commanded us to participate until your return. Strengthen us by your Spirit. Guide us in your ways of righteousness and love, and make us one in purpose through our Saviour, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. So we come now to share bread and wine at Jesus' invitation. All who love the Lord are welcome at his table. We come not because any goodness of our own gives us the right, but because he loves us and gave his life for us. So let's hear again the words of institution as given by the Apostle Paul, that on the night that he was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took bread. When he'd given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup, saying, "This is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." So let us share bread and wine together. So strengthen us for service, Lord. May the ears that have heard your word be deaf to clamour and dispute. May the eyes that have seen your love shine with the light of hope. May the tongues that have sung your praises always speak the truth. May the feet that have walked in your house ever walk in the light. Thanks be to God for his gift beyond words. Amen. So we come to our final hymn. It's number 857 in Mission Praise. I, the Lord of Sea and Sky. Let's stand to sing. So Lord, we thank you for your presence with us today. Thank you for your word to us. And thank you for the presence of your Holy Spirit. Lord, we pray that your presence will go with us into this coming week, with all of the situations that we shall meet. May we keep our eyes on you. Amen. So let's just say the grace together. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.